Well, if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the book of James in the New Testament, James chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 19 through 26, but focusing on verses 19 through 21. Twenty twenty has been quite the year already. The most challenging, perhaps, in many of our lifetimes. I wish I was hopeful that the rest of the year is going to be better, but I'm not. This year has been marked not only by the pandemic of disease, but also the pandemic of dissension and division. And I think the worst could be yet to come. Why do I say that? Because we have a presidential election coming up in November. The election of 2016, is why I'm no longer on Facebook. I became so discouraged and so disillusioned by the daily comments, mostly by some of my Christian brothers and sisters, that I had to eliminate that from my life. I no longer check in on Facebook. But for a while this year, I made the mistake of checking out Twitter. I did so in order to follow the governor's daily updates on COVID-19, what was going on in the state, his daily status report. Status of things that were being allowed and things that were not. Then I made a mistake of going further, reading some additional tweets, reading some of the comments that were made in response to the governor's status reports and declarations. Bad idea. Then others would send me things that they had found on Facebook. I am greatly concerned that many Christians are doing great damage to their testimonies and to the name of Christ, and how they have and are responding to the crises that we've experienced in the first half of 2020. With so much going on in our world that needs to be addressed, I really struggled about what to say today, about what to preach. Especially since I'm not in the midst of a series right now. If I were, that would be easy. We'd just continue into the series. But after changing what I've intended to preach four times, I have settled on this passage, James 1, 19 through 21. As I said, we'll be reading verses 19 through 27. And as I do, as we look at this passage, I want to go ahead and give you my points. I want us to see, first of all, the divine order that we're given, especially in verse 19. Secondly, I want us to notice a dangerous emotion that James points out to us. And thirdly, I want us to see the decisive attitude that he calls for and that would help us in these days. Follow with me as I read James 1, beginning in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. First of all, notice in verse 19, the divine order. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Not only is every word in Scripture inspired by God, but the order is inspired as well. That is critical for our understanding and application of this passage. Be quick to hear. The word translated quick conveys the idea of readiness or even eagerness to hear. First of all, we need to be quick or ready or eager to hear from God. That's the primary context here. We need to want to hear from God, which is not always easy. James has just written that God has brought us forth, that is, given us new birth, by the word of truth. And then at the end, or in verse 21, he says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. He's not talking about initial salvation, justification. He's talking about the continuing work of saving us, of making us like the Lord Jesus Christ. We need God's word. And we especially need to hear, and we need to give attention to those hard sayings that are contrary to our natural inclination. I've often said there are certain things God does not have to instruct us to do. God does not have to tell me to love my grandchildren, all right? There's no need of that, right? It's easy to do. It's the difficult things, the challenging things that God has to tell us to do and that we need to hear and heed. For example, Matthew 5, 43 through 48. If you have a Bible and want to turn there, they're familiar words. Go ahead and take the time to turn there. So you know that I'm not making this up. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Yeah, well, that's generally, yeah, well, I can do that. But wait a minute. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? That is the worst of society in that day. And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? That is, unbelievers? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Or another passage. Turn over a few pages in your New Testament to Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Now, let me just say a word to those of you who understand that the word bless, to bless somebody out, can mean something different, right? That's not what Paul has in mind here. Bless. Desire good for those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. In other words, don't you be the source of dissension or division. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Let me just add, in word or in deed. But leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There are many such passages in God's Word, both in the Old and the New Testament. We are called to respond with hatred by loving. We are called to respond with those that we disagree in gracious and merciful ways. That doesn't mean we have to agree with them, but how we disagree really does matter. Not only do we need to be willing, first and foremost, to hear from the Lord, but we also need to be willing to at least hear from others, even, maybe especially, those that we disagree with. Be willing to hear from, that is to listen to, others who are not part of your tribe, that is, your political party, your worldview perspective, your culture, your ethnicity, your race. Don't just listen to those you know are going to agree with you, to those who will promote your own perspective, those whose opinions you can trot out so you can say, "See, I was right." We need to hear from those that don't agree with us. If you listen to those outside your normal circle, you may actually learn something. You may or may not agree. Often you won't. But it doesn't hurt to hear, to listen. Truly listen. Be quick to hear, even from those you disagree with. And hearing, truly hearing, is not just waiting for your turn to speak. It isn't easy and it isn't natural. It takes work to hear, not just with your ears, but also with your heart. I remember telling my brother once, "Well, I heard you, but I wasn't listening." He didn't understand what I meant. Every wife does. Many people, Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find it among Christians, because these Christians are talking where they should be listening. But he who can no longer listen to others will soon be no longer listening to God either. He will be doing nothing but prattle in the presence of God too. This is the beginning of the death of the spiritual life. And in the end, there is nothing left but spiritual prattle. We need to hear. Be quick to hear. We need to be slow to speak. Slow to speak. This is really hard for many of us because we have so much to say. Maybe not in person, but you know, there are all kinds of platforms today where we can voice our opinion. We can let people know what we think about this or that or the other. I wonder if we ought to be speaking at all sometimes on these platforms. We need to be quick to hear rather than quick to speak. We need to listen, really listen, as I've already said. In his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey, who I realize was not a Christian, he still presents some good things to say. And the fifth habit is this: seek first to understand, then to be understood. I think that's a similar way or a different way of saying let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. Understand first before you want to be understood. Here are some things to keep in mind that God says. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. I'm just going to read these so you can jot them down and meditate them, memorize them later. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Boy, is that a good word, or what? Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Proverbs 31:8-9. Excuse me, let me go on to Matthew 12:36-37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. That goes way beyond cursing, folks. But only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Isn't that a good word? By our words, let's give grace to those who hear. And let me just hasten to add, hopefully you're already getting it, wherever you read or heard the word speak or speech or words or talks or mouths, add types, tweets, posts, all right? It's the same thing. It applies to all of these. Again, James has something more to say about our words, about our speech. In chapter 3, just turn over a page or two. James writes this. And this first verse really is sobering to me. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, greater accountability. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Listen to this. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursings. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Joel Gregory wrote this: how many chant, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing on Sunday," yet use their tongues to contradict their witness on Monday? Richard Needham wrote this: the man who is brutally honest enjoys the brutality quite as much as the honesty, possibly more. Ooh, I'm just telling it like it is. I just want you to know, I'm brutally honest. Well, the person who says that enjoys the brutality just as much, if not more, as the honesty. According to a Fox News story from February of this year, Garth Brooks hit the stage in Detroit wearing the jersey of retired Detroit Lions running back Barry Sanders. However, the photo he posted backstage confused some of his fans because of the name Sanders and the jersey number 20. Some thought the shirt was meant to convey support for Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who at the time was involved in a race with former Vice President Joe Biden for the right to run against President Trump as a Democratic challenger for this year's presidential election. Good grief, responded one Instagram user. Can't you just do what you get paid to do? Why does it have to involve politics? So sad. We don't pay good money for anything other than to watch you perform. Thought you were different. While there were plenty of Garth Brooks fans online to correct the mistaken assumption, there are also more than a few Bernie Sanders supporters happy to play along. Well, looks like Garth Brooks just became my favorite country singer, wrote another user, concluding, hashtag feel the burn 2020. Even Barry Sanders himself got in on the fun. Hey, Garth Brooks, want to be my VP? Number 20 for 2020, he hashtagged. Did any of Garth Brooks' critics take the time to find out, that is, to hear what was really going on? Did they seek first to understand, to listen to why he was wearing that shirt, what it meant? No. They just immediately jumped to a conclusion and acted on it. This kind of stuff happens all the time on social media. All the time. Sometimes, unfortunately, by Christians. Now, about speaking. There's an assumption there will be a time to speak. If you must speak, how about starting by speaking to God first? Speak to Him. Talk to God. Talk to Him about what's troubling you. Talk to Him about what you see that's wrong. Talk to Him about your frustration, maybe at the way He's running His world, like Habakkuk, which we looked at recently. Talk to God first. And if you need some help, use some of the Psalms of Lament. All right? I've been reading recently a book by Mark Vrogop, I think I pronounced that right, entitled Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. And it's about lament, discovering the grace of lament. And in it, he deals with a lot of the Psalms of Lament, as well as the book of Lamentations. But let me just highlight a few that you might want to write down. There are some Psalms of Lament that are meant for personal lament, like Psalm 10, Psalm 13, Psalm 22, Psalm 77. There are others that are good for corporate lament, a people, a nation. Psalm 12, Psalm 20, Psalm 94. I didn't say, excuse me, Psalm 12, Psalm 80, not 20, and Psalm 94. I highly recommend the book, and in the back is a list of many, many other psalms that can be used. Sometimes we need to speak. Before we speak to or about others, maybe we should speak to God first. We are to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Before we get to that last point about anger, we're going to deal with that in a whole point all by itself. I want to say, if I can get back to my notes. I want to reiterate the importance of the order. Quick to hear. Quick to hear. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Slow to speak, slow to anger. Don't get the order wrong. But then secondly, second major point, and these last two will not be as long as the first, we need to see a dangerous emotion. And that emotion is anger. James is so concerned about the danger in anger that he writes this after saying to be slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What does he mean? Well, first of all, there is such a thing as righteous anger. But it is very difficult for sinful people to experience it. Righteous anger is rooted in God's holiness and justice. We, by nature, are concerned first and foremost with what we want, with our desires, with our opinions, with what the way we think things should be. It's difficult, not impossible, but difficult for us to truly express righteous anger. So we need to really be careful about expressing anger at all. Consider the following. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 16:32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And in Galatians 5, Paul compares the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. And among other things, he mentions as the works of the flesh, enmity, strife, and fits of anger. This is not of God. It is of the flesh and the evil one. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2, 24-26, wrote this: The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Now, again, Paul was writing to Timothy, to a pastor. He says, the Lord's servant. That's not just a good word to pastors. That's a good word to all Christians. We must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, patiently enduring evil, correcting opponents with gentleness, because God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. I wish I could say I've always done a good job at that. Some of you actually know better. And I regret, and I've repented of my own anger. James considers anger to be such a problem that he links it with other moral evils. Notice in verse 21, therefore, after talking about the anger of man does not produce God's righteousness, he says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, or some translations say remaining wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. We don't normally consider anger to be tantamount to filthiness or rampant wickedness. God does. Kevin Miller, the vice president of Christianity Today International, shares this story. A Christian counselor told me about a man who came to counseling because he was having trouble controlling his anger. He had these outbursts, and it was affecting his work and his family life, so he finally decided to get some help. The counselor wanted to find out if this man could conceive of a different way of living. She asked him, what would your life look like if you got rid of your anger? He was quiet for a long time. Then he said, but if I get rid of my anger, what will I have left? How about a life of joy and peace, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Again, I wish this was all theoretical for me personally, but I have way too much experience in damaging relationships due to my anger. Some of you, perhaps, are thinking about, yeah, I know somebody who needs to hear this, right? Yeah, I wish those people that are rioting could hear this. Listen, I don't pastor those people. We need to take care of us first and foremost. We need to take care of our heart attitudes, our words, and our actions. The third and final point here is a decisive or the decisive attitude. We must not miss what James indicates is the key attitude, the decisive attitude, if we're going to learn to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You see it in verse 21? Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. What is meekness? It's not a bad self-image, all right? Meekness is not weakness either. It's not someone who goes around always putting himself or herself down. That's not meekness. Meekness is rather acknowledging that maybe the problem isn't with others. Maybe I shouldn't start by looking at others, but at my own heart and my own life. Rather than focusing on others, I need to realize that God has given this word to me so I can work on myself. What if we all decided today to begin a new habit, or maybe two new habits, or maybe you already have this habit, and thank the Lord if you do. First of all, first habit is, when it comes to need to change, I will start with me. I'll start with myself, my attitudes, my words, my actions. I used to have a statement that I printed out and was on my computer monitor so I would see it every day. I'm not sure what happened to it, but it went something like this. Don't be upset that you can't change others when you have such a hard time changing yourself. We need to start with me. This isn't essential to the sermon, but I came across a skit that I think exemplifies both communication challenges and change problems, the challenge of change. It's between a husband and a wife. The husband says, change don't come easily. The wife says, doesn't. Husband, doesn't what? Wife, come easily. Change doesn't come easily. Husband, so you're agreeing with me. Wife, yes, but husband, then why didn't you just say I agree? Wife, but I, husband, we're always arguing. Wife, I'm not arguing. Husband, yes, you are. Wife, no, I'm not. Husband, then what is it we're doing? Wife, honestly, I have no idea. Husband, well, whatever it is, I'm sick of it, and it needs to be changed. Wife, to quote a wise man, change don't come easily. Husband, exactly. When it comes to change, we need to start with ourselves. The second habit, when it comes to helping, when it comes to encouraging, to comforting, to blessing, when there's a need for help, focus on others. Not on what I need, but on what others need. I will start with others, not with myself. Jelani Greenidge shares this story. Darryl Davis tends to attract attention and vitriol whenever he's seen at political demonstrations, but he's used to it. According to CNN, in December of 2017, Davis traveled to Charlottesville, Virginia, to meet with Billy Snuffer, an imperial wizard of the Rebel Brigade Knights, a sect of the Ku Klux Klan. Snuffer was there with other Klansmen attending a hearing of an associate facing a gun charge during the infamous Unite the Right rally from last August of 2017, where a woman was killed by a driver who rammed his car into a crowd of counter-protesters. Davis wasn't exactly there to support Snuffer and his friends, but he did want to engage them in conversation in order to understand them. But his attempts to do that tend to elicit strong reactions from onlookers, because Darryl Davis is African-American. As it turns out, Davis has been at this for a while. As a bluesman dabbling in country and Western music, Davis has traveled across the South, East, and Midwest playing music and meeting people. Playing at a bar in 1983, he was once complimented by a patron who compared his playing to Jerry Lee Lewis. After explaining to the man that Lewis learned his craft from black, blues, and boogie-woogie players, they eventually became friends, despite the fact that the man revealed his membership with the KKK. Since then, Darryl Davis has been dubbed the Klan Whisperer, as he soldiers on in a mission to challenge the beliefs of Klansmen through friendship and conversation. His closet is a testament to his success, featuring several Klan robes given by men who renounced their affiliation and after having befriended him. And then Jelani Greenidge adds this: racism in America is a complex problem with a myriad of systemic, interconnected causes and consequences. Nevertheless, Davis's example serves as a gentle reminder that the path toward progress requires a measure of humility, meekness, and a willingness to listen. What is the rest of 2020 going to look like? Only the Lord knows for sure. And we have very little control over the circumstances that come. But we do have not only control, but responsibility for how we respond to events, especially in relation to what we do or don't say. Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's bow together for prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, we are grateful that you are a God of grace and mercy. Lord, our great desire is that indeed your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we know that that will not happen fully, finally, until the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, oh Lord, we do have the responsibility to seek to extend your kingdom and your will in our lives and in our spheres of influence. Lord, help us to both hear and heed your word. In Jesus' name, amen.